Luke 11, Jesus gives advice concerning our prayer life. I ask my AI friend to read the passage and deal it out. And he doesn't have a very good imagination, actually. How did they get the door open with those kids there, you know? They shut the door and the kids are thrown out of the house. But you get the idea. And it's night, and so the guy's knocking, or was knocking, and the troubled man says, "I can't because kids are all in bed with me." Not in a bed, but we've gone to bed. So you get the idea, the trouble for this guy to give him what he wants. So here's the story. "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves of bread, for a friend of mine in his journey, or out of his way, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Don't you hate that? Now, evidently, he got there just before midnight. And now this guy says, "Boy, you caught me just before I loaded up on bread." "And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee." And Christ says, there's the situation, but there's friendship, and then there's continued asking. "But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," the fact that he didn't give up knocking on the door, he kept knocking, "he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." So he explains, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Praying for ourselves alone tends to failure. It does not demand failure. Many of my prayers for me have been answered, and thankfully so. But it's a tough thing to negotiate. Kind of a edge there, a tightrope thing. James 4:3, "You ask and receive not." Why? Because you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong purpose, that you may consume it upon your lusts, your pleasures. So I'm not sure, you know, I've tried to correct my thinking. When I'm not feeling well and I ask for healing, I don't ask, "Help me feel better." That would almost the definition of upon my own desires, upon my own pleasure. I would like to be more pleasurable is what I'm asking God. See? But I do ask for healing, that I might serve him better. And that corrects the idea in my thinking. So avoid, as you're praying for yourself, think why. Why should you ask? Why should you bother God with this? And then don't ask for your own pleasures. Intercessory prayer, which is our main topic in this series, is the loving work of prayer. Love focusing outside of self. In Christ's story of the needy friend at midnight, we see seven truths, and with those I'll leave you to meditate. These truths encourage us in intercessory prayer. So we imagine this as a true story. That's the way he wants us to do this. and read into it. First of all, it was an urgent need. Evidently, the friend that came hadn't eaten in a long time. And it was very important to have bread, and this fellow didn't have it. He was a bachelor, I'm just going to say. He didn't have food in the pantry for his family. He just had a peanut butter and jelly fit the night before, or the day before, or afternoon before, and he just ate all the bread. So, a friend showed up late. He had nothing for his guest. Even though it was midnight, he goes to his friend for help. Now, it was an urgent need. The very fact that he shows up at this guy's house at midnight, pounding on the door, was the sense of urgency. I wouldn't do this as a friend. I wouldn't do this unless it was absolutely necessary. Then it was a willing love, because he does not come and say, I have the salami, I have the pepper jack cheese, I just need the bread. See, that, not for him. He asks not for himself, but for his needy and unexpected guest. He, in fact, sacrificed a pleasant night's rest to come and ask for bread. If he was not a good host, he would have said, just try to get to sleep, we'll work out some food in the morning. The third truth is that it admitted a sense of powerlessness. Let's not forget that as we go to prayer to God, it's because we can't do it ourselves. Or it would be highly unlikely that it would work, you see. So he says, he faced the fact that he could not meet his guest's need by himself. He says, I have nothing. Now, sometimes you don't want to admit that, and maybe especially to a friend who would say, why would you let yourself get into that situation? But that was it. The fourth thing, and this is, I think, very important, is that it was a request in faith. He didn't go to a person that he didn't think had it, see. He knows his friend can supply the need, and that implies what we'll look at later, that is, that the friend had enough money to take care of this, to plan ahead, to have bread stocked up for his family. So he can supply the need. He is confident that his friend will supply his need. He knows he's a friend. He knows he can spare the needed loaves. He won't leave him with nothing. But in answer to the plea, the friend cries out, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. The problem is not that I don't have the bread. That's not the problem. So Christ is asking us to think this through. What could cause him to change his mind? If you have prayed, Christ is talking about us praying, right? If you have prayed and the answer has not come, and sometimes answers surprise us, that he answers in ways we didn't think that through. We didn't know all the story. We didn't know something. But the answer to what would cause him to change his mind is number 5. It was a persistent request. It was an importunate. We don't use the word anymore. It's hard to really vision that meaning. But it means persistent. The one asking knows his friend will be troubled to meet the need. After all, he came to him at midnight. And even though he says, I cannot rise and give thee, the one asking knows that it is not that he cannot meet the need, it is that he will not at this point. He will not rise. In a sense, this is a test to see if the request is truly urgent. His friend is saying, don't bother me with trivial things. Too much trouble for me to answer it. We really don't know what's involved in God answering these prayers. Who does he have to affect? What situation does he have to change? People were saying, please pray that it doesn't rain on our picnic. And I said, well, I wonder if there's a farmer praying that it will, that you could have some food for your picnic. You know, who gets it here? But what we see in this is that this is the central lesson of the parable, that it is importunity, the word meaning persisting even to the point of annoyance, will conquer the reluctance of the lending friend. Looking up the meaning of the Greek word for importunity, it actually means shamelessness and rudeness. This is just asking, not caring about how it hurts your feelings. Yes?
He's going to end up waking up the kids.
That's right. He's going to end up waking up the kids because he has to turn on the light so he doesn't step on those little...
By the guy knocking that
window. Yeah, that's true. And keeps knocking. So his need overcame his hesitancy. He knows that this is a shameless thing, and he admits it. But this is a great need. Alexander McLaren, the British preacher. And if persistence has such power with selfish men, how much more shall it avail with him who slumbers not nor sleeps, and to whom we can never come at an inopportune moment, and who will give us because we are his friends, and he ours. It's a nice way of thinking about it. I'm sorry, God, did I wake you up? No. Neither slumbers nor sleeps. I'm not sure what the difference between those two words are, but he doesn't do either one. Slumber sounds like he's snoring or something. Slumber. But he says, no, he's positively alert and awake. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch. This is keeping the watches, you know. It's like every 4 hours they call out, all's clear, all's well at the wall. This is through the night, you see. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Again, we're challenged in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, begging in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, off and on through the night, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Keep on praying. If you wake in the night, as I often do, as I'm making my way to the bathroom and back, I often ask myself, is this the time to pray? And sometimes a thought, a person comes to mind. Number 6, he asked with a certainty of reward. The very fact that he came to this guy and said, this is going to be a lot of trouble for him, but he will give it to me. He asked with a certainty of reward. Friendship will meet the need if it's really important. He will do whatever he can if the need is truly urgent. The one asking showed true urgency by his continual pleading. Jesus explained his story. I say unto you, though he will not, does not want to rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. verse 10, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." There's a graduated requests in this. Asking is the beginning, and that's, could I have that? But now seeking is actually going about looking for something. It's a little more activity. And then knocking is the greatest of all. This is where you are actually interrupting somebody else, you see. And so this leads us to the last thing, and this is, I mentioned earlier, we see it by the concept. Number 7, the provided answer is of high quality. And that wasn't emphasized in the story, but it's certainly implied, because he went to a guy that he knew would have it and enough to spare. When the asker returns with the loaves of bread, he finds that they are not the barley loaves that he uses for himself. They are the fine grain loaves. He asked one that he knew had plenty, so he was, by contrast, wealthy. What he received from his rich friend is of the highest, the best quality. So I think it's important then to recognize how much is in this story, which was told to urge us to pursue. Ask, if that hasn't come about, seek. And even then, knock. So it is, keep on knocking. You get to knocking, you just keep on knocking. And that's the goal. Intercessory prayer is that thing that says the need is so great that we have to keep asking.